Is that Joe Dumas from Crime 4?
Yes, it is. Jason,
man,
but yes.
You got some swag, bro. I like you, brother. I like you, man. You good. Jibs and my boy Mark, man, they the man. But you're doing well, young man. You're doing well.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I think Grandpa Daddy got caught between Jason Dumas and Joe Dumars.
No doubt.
Detroit Pistons legend. Jason Dumas in the building with us from Crom 4 on 95.7 The Game. Dibs,
I appreciate
here as well.
The love I get from the Bay Area. I love it out here.
Is that Joe Dumas from Crom?
I mean, if you had to be confused with someone, I mean, Joe Dumars is a good person to be confused
100%.
With.
100%. NBA, he's a Hall of Famer, right? Joe Dumars in the Hall of Fame?
I think so.
I mean, won a couple championships with the Bad Boy Pistons.
And now he's doing big things in the league office.
Oh, yeah.
He's in charge of suspending Draymond Green for X amount of games.
I know, and Draymond looks up to him because of the Detroit connection. Yeah. Draymond's from, Saginaw, and obviously Draymond was a Pistons fan, so Draymond probably watched him growing up winning those championships, so it's kind of ironic their relationship now.
Yeah, every time, I mean, it happened twice this past year when he got suspended. I guess it happened in the previous playoffs as well when he stomped on Sabonis' chest. But he's upset that he gets suspended, but he knows that Dumars is making the decision, so he's kind of forced to respect it. Interesting relationship.
And funny how you say, like, I grew up watching the title teams. I think that he was born when the Bad Boy Pistons were winning, because they went 89 and 90, if I'm not mistaken. And that would be now, quietly, Jason, 34 years ago.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's about how long you've been here. And
yeah, I'm 35.
Before Grandy's time, and Draymond's about the same age as you, so maybe he didn't actually grow up seeing the title teams. But I know he saw Joe play, and Draymond's a student of the game. This is not to say that Draymond doesn't know who Joe Dumars was as a player, but Joe was a terrific two-guard on that team with Isaiah.
Yeah, 1989 and 1990. Yeah.
Yeah, 89 and 90.
Right there.
Crazy. Which, they were keeping Jordan at bay as long as they could.
So he grew up just hearing the allure of Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, of course, going from that area. All right, we continue here on Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. As a reminder, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, we've been talking about the Warriors offseason a lot so far today here on 95.7 The Game. I want to get to some Clay-specific stuff in a sec, but we do got a caller to clean up. Uday from Canada joins us now here on Willard and Dibs. Uday, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. How you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. What do you got for us today?
Well, I just think Dunleavy played that $13 million for Melton wrong. He got $16 million for Clay and the $13 million. That's $29 million. I don't understand why we didn't offer like $20 million to DeRozan. DeRozan right now is contemplating taking a mid-level contract. So, and then the other nine, I would have got slow-mo with it. Now, when we have DeRozan, Wiggins, and Kuminga on the wings, we can afford to trade Kuminga for Markkanen now. And then we end up with DeRozan and Markkanen.
Hey, Uday, I appreciate your creativity, but that's just not how it works. The Warriors don't get Klay Thompson's salary. In fact, they got a slot back for it. You get the traded player exception because you didn't take anything back for the sign-in trade. They use a portion of that on Kyle Anderson. It's how they were able to make that work. You couldn't just go out and sign Kyle Anderson, and they got him via that as well, and you ended up signing D'Anthony Melton, the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is an entirely different thing. It would be great if the Warriors had more cap space and room to do that, but just because Klay got nearly 17 million in one spot doesn't mean the Warriors have access to that, but they did get that trade exception. The NBA cap and the way it all works, it is confusing. I think you got the numbers mixed up a little bit because they didn't have all that room to go out and sign somebody.
No, they didn't. I mean, they're trying to make moves though. I mean, Mike Dunleavy's position, as we've stated this whole show, it's not that easy. He is not in a desirable point. He has an owner who has vocally said, you got to stay between the margins. We want to cut costs, which is understandable, too. I don't even necessarily fault Joe Lacob for that. So that's not a criticism per se. But as a general manager, you are being handcuffed a bit to make moves. And, you know, let's be fair. People aren't rushing to make the Warriors a better team.
No.
There's Warriors fatigue. The last decade has been crazy. It's been one of the most successful runs in NBA history.
Seen people call it the Warriors tax or the Joe Lacob tax.
And people yeah. for years are saying the Warriors ruined NBA. Like, that is real. That is a real perception that a lot of fan bases have, that a lot of front offices have. That's just the reality of the situation. So Mike Dunleavy, at the end of the day, he is going to be judged like anyone else. He's paid handsomely to do the job, and that's fair. But we also have to keep the context out there. He doesn't have an easy job. It's just facts. He doesn't. Right. What he's trying to do isn't exactly easy. Everybody, he should have done this. He should have done that. Dude, it's not that easy. It's not.
And you can't make other teams trade you their players. And that was one of the funny things that was said earlier this week or late last week. Maybe it was Ramona Shelburne who said it, and she's right, because you can have the great trade package and you can have a willing owner who is, you know, going to help you to part with assets. But unless you have another team that is willing to give you their good player, it's not going to work. And that's what it came down to with Paul George. The Clippers weren't going to trade the Warriors Paul George. End of communication. And that's just the way that was going to go. And it's something that I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, because why would you want to help the Warriors? Why would you want to help any team, but especially the Warriors, who've won four titles and have kind of been the preeminent force in all of sports? So none of these teams is going to deal with them unless they feel like they can get over.
Do you think the reason the Clippers didn't want to do it was because of what you guys are talking about, because of Warriors fatigue and unwilling to help not just a rival, but the team that has dominated the league for the last decade? Or was it more to do with the fact that Clippers are just frightened by the new CPA and the second apron?
I think it's more the former. I think that it comes down to them not wanting to help the Golden State Warriors. And so you're going to make sure that you exact every single piece out of a trade with them. And even if they give you that piece, you may still not want to trade it. And I also think there's a little bit of owner envy, because Steve Ballmer is not used to losing.
He wants what Joe Lacob has.
Exactly. And he's a billionaire. And these billionaires aren't used to, to losing.
Way richer than Lacob, by the way.
Exactly.
Way.
Well, and Joe Lacob has multiple other owners. I don't know what the Clipper ownership structure is, but yeah, Steve Ballmer's worth multiple billions, and Joe Lacob is the principal owner of a team that's worth multiple billions. But yeah, Steve Ballmer and these other super, super rich people aren't used to losing. And so I think that that's part of it as well, where the Clippers don't want to feel like they're giving into the Warriors after having rolled over for the past 12 years.
Do you think the Jazz feel that way when it comes to a potential Lowry marketing deal, or is that more just Danny Ainge's nature?
It's Danny Ainge's nature, and I do think that they're going to try to exact every prospect, every draft pick that they can. And
but not necessarily from an anti-Warriors position.
Exactly, and yeah. I also think with the Utah Jazz, they're not in a tremendous rush right now to make this deal happen. You can wait until the deadline, and maybe Markkanen is a guy who will command as much, if not even a little bit more, at the deadline. If there's a team that is a player away and Markkanen is still not signed to an extension, or maybe he is and you know what that number is going to be, at that point, maybe you make the trade for Markkanen.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see how it all plays out. And again, we'll be live and local tomorrow and Friday here on 95.7 The Game. In case any news breaks, and I'm sure there'll be something one way or the other, we still got a potential Buddy Hield sign and trade to be finalized, and the Warriors got their hands in a couple other buckets. We know that as well. If any of it happens tomorrow or Friday, or Saturday for that matter, we'll be all over it here on 95.7 The Game. Spadoni and Lubman from 8 a.m. until noon, and then our very own Jason Dumas is with us here on Willard and Dibs alongside Evan Giddings from noon until 4. That's the lineup for both Thursday, tomorrow, 4th of July, and also Friday, the 5th of July, here on 95.7 The Game. But guys, today kind of seems like you wake up every day the last couple and there's like five new Klay Thompson stories detailing how his time with the Golden State Warriors came to an end. This morning there was Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews, a piece they wrote together, both contributed to on ESPN. Sam Amick wrote one on The Athletic. Logan Murdoch on The Ringer. There's a number of these pieces that are coming out now. now. I'll focus here specifically on the Ramona Shelburne and the Kendra Andrews piece. I know you guys are both familiar with it. A lot of really interesting things came out of this one. It starts off by telling a story of about 6 weeks ago now. And this was back in May, in mid to late May, where Joe Lacob invited Clay Thompson down to play a round of golf at the Riviera Country Club, which hosted what, a U.S. Open, Dibs, a couple years ago?
The PGA, I think.
The PGA?
Yeah.
A great golf course, well known, really, really awesome.
We still got to find out how he played.
We don't know exactly how he played. You're right.
I actually got a report from a source that indicates he did not break 90.
Clay did not break 90.
I mean, that's a breaking 90 is hard for very amateurs. Hard.
Yes. You know especially what I mean? When you're playing Riviera, it plays long, a lot of trees, very difficult.
Did he break 110? That's what I'm looking at.
I didn't follow up my source, but
I'm not a great golfer. Don't get me wrong. This is not me insulting anybody. Like, if I can stay under 95, it's a good day.
Yeah, you strike me as a guy who, if you devoted yourself to the game, you could be good.
I was getting...
You give off athlete vibes.
I was getting much better. I was playing some of my best rounds right before I ruptured my Achilles, which is annoying. Yeah. But I'll get back.
Sure.
Golf is fun. You know, I don't take it too seriously. Some people get out there, they're so frustrated, they want to get better, man. Crack a couple of drinks. Talk to the people in your group, especially if you know them, if you come with them, and just have some fun.
Yeah, well, no doubt.
It might have been a frustrating round for Clay.
He's hoping to get a job offer.
Yeah, exactly. Even not even related to the golf, because I think you can imagine your owner in the middle of a contract negotiation invites you to play a round of golf after the negotiations or really lack thereof haven't gone very well. You've heard almost nothing. Everything you've heard up to that point was, Clay, we want you back, but we just can't do it just yet. So he invites you to play a round of golf. And this was, again, like around May 20th-ish, mid to late May. Lacob invites him down to Pacific Palisades in Southern California. And Clay might have already been down there. Of course, a SoCal kid. And that's where his dad is. And a lot of his family is down there. But they don't talk about the contract at all. Not even broached. The subject not broached at all. Lacob doesn't bring it up. Clay doesn't bring it up. I can imagine it being an awkward situation for Clay Thompson. That was one little tidbit there. And guys, if you're already upset that your owner, that your franchise, that you helped win 4 championships for, isn't really being very receptive to your impending free agency, and then you meet the owner face-to-face for a round of golf for 18 holes, and the subject doesn't even come up, I can imagine how that would maybe piss you off a little bit more and maybe drive a wedge between you even further.
I just don't get the point of inviting him out.
If you're not going to have that talk.
I just don't understand the point.
Even if the talk is just, like, sorry, Clay, we can't do it.
Right.
But according to Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews, there was nothing of that sort.
It was a sign of respect, and I think at that point it was over, Jason. It was already a wrap, and they both knew it.
How is it respectful, though, if you're not going to communicate what Clay wants? That is just, it's almost like passive-aggressive. It's like, yo, come golf with me, Clay. I know, like, these are the biggest couple days of your career, probably, in the future of your career, and I know in your hearts of hearts, all you want to do is be a warrior and respected and have your legacy intact. It's the only thing to talk about at this point. So I don't even know if it's maybe the intention was a sign of respect. I can get behind that, but misplaced, I guess. I mean, is he not well calculated?
And he was already in LA, so it's not like he flew down there just to play golf with Joe. Joe was down there. Clay was down there. Let's get together and play some golf. And I think by that point, and according to the story, it was May, so about a month ago when this all went down. And I do think that at that point, both sides knew where this was and how this was going to wind up. And so, yeah, it is a little bit odd that they didn't even, like, on the 13th tee, like, hey, Joe, hey, now that we're, you know, a couple drinks in here and we were getting to know each other a little bit, what do you think? What do you think about 2 and 40? Or even if it wasn't strictly business, the fact that it didn't come up at all seem surprising to me, but I do think at that point it was already kind of a wrap.
Maybe. And it did seem like Clay felt that way, but it kind of seems like he was willing to maybe hear him out. And if he finally came with the offer, then he was going to be willing to deal with it and put those emotions behind him. But the conversation, at least according to reports, never happened. Another interesting thing from Ramona and Kendra Andrews on this ESPN story. They report that both Draymond and Clay, and this is really interesting, both Draymond and Clay weren't really sure how to feel about both Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins getting contract extensions the summer after winning the championship. So Warriors beat the Celtics, 2022 finals. You get the parade down Market Street. Everyone is ecstatic. Specifically Jordan Poole, by the way, because he knows he's about to get a new contract. He gets 4 years for $140 million. Andrew Wiggins gets 4 years for $109 million. And at that time, that might be where Clay's frustration kind of begins, because the report, again, from Shelburne and Kendra Andrews, Ramona and Kendra, they say that both Draymond and Clay were a little frustrated that they, meaning Poole and Wiggins, got contract extensions while both Draymond and Clay did not the offseason after winning a championship.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a thing that becomes more telling than whether or not they talked business over a golf round. And that, I think, set the last couple of years in motion for Clay. That frustration over, and, you know, Draymond felt the same frustration, and he got the frustration out in his own individual way at practice. And, you know, that's not the way Clay did it. But you heard Clay talking about Jordan Poole when they came back from that overseas trip in the preseason, and you know how Jordan Poole was starting to feel himself a little bit too much. So there was that frustration, I think, that hung around the team. And it's not only the Jordan Poole, it's the Andrew Wiggins extension. And then the fact that Draymond got four and $100 million. If you're Clay, you're thinking, okay, I'm in line for the same sort of a legacy contract. And when that never came, that's where the frustration grew.
But how, if you're Clay or Draymond in that moment, before the Draymond extension happens, you're a year away from that extension happening. Draymond's extension that came a year ago now, not even a year ago, but right around there. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins both had 1 year left on their deals and they were due for extensions. Draymond also had one. Clay had two more years on his deal. How is someone whose time is up ahead of you frustrating you that they're getting paid instead of you? Got 2 years left on your deal. It's not your turn. It's their turn.
Yeah. I mean, I've been pretty consistent in saying we can't control or tell someone how they ought to feel. I mean, that's personal, but I didn't see it that way. I just didn't see it the way that Clay saw it. Obviously he has more of an inside look. He has more context. He has more of a right to like have opinions on how the Warriors are handling him. But you're exactly right. It wasn't Clay's turn to get paid yet. It just wasn't. And I mean, in my opinion, Draymond was just a better player than has been a better player than him. Just objectively speaking, he has been more impactful. Look, I mean, it is what it is at this point. Clay felt a certain type of way. Clearly the Warriors felt a certain type of way in how they wanted to proceed and how much they thought Clay was worth, even given the context in his history. They disagreed about it, and it resulted in this. It's pretty much what it stems down to, no?
Yeah, and I think if you add in the relegation to the bench part of it and, you know, the frustration that Clay was feeling throughout the year, all those things, including some internal frustration that he was showing, you know, according to the Ramona Shelburne and the Malik Andrews, or the Kendra Andrews rather, piece that ran in ESPN today, there were more things than just the disrespect of not getting the contract that led Clay to feel some type of way. And then you get to the end of the year and you're a 10 seed. And I do think that that's the backdrop for all of this. You look at what happened when you're a 10 seed, something's got to change. Draymond signed, and Wiggins is signed, Poole's gone, and Steph is signed. So what's the one thing that you can change? And other than making trades, it's Klay Thompson. And so you get to the end of a 10-seed year, and you want Klay to stay, but you don't want Klay to stay for 2-48. That deal is no longer on the table. And in fact, there's no deal on the table. It's a wait and see. And so Klay goes through everything he does. He plays almost every game last year.
77 games?
77 of 82. And the year before that, you were one of the best three-point shooters in the game. And none of that is going to warrant you getting a contract from your team?
I get the frustration too. It's even crazier because Ramona reports that not only did the Warriors not offer Klay a contract, but it was Klay's camp who had proposed multiple contracts to the Warriors, including four before the offseason even began. And the last one that Klay's camp offered came as recently as about a month ago, early June, when Klay's camp said, all right, Warriors, how about 2 years for about $20 million a year? 2 years for about $20 million a year, which if you were following Sunday morning, which what Chris Haynes reported was what the Warriors offered Klay. So you got all sorts of disinformation going on back and forth. I don't know who you believe, but Ramona Shelburne reporting and Kendra Angel of ESPN that the Warriors received an offer from Klay's camp a month ago, $20 million right around there per year for 2 years. And Joe Lacob and the Warriors' response was the same. The response has been this entire process. We can't do it yet. 20 million over 2 years, or average of $20 million for 2 years.
I mean, all of that could have been avoided if Klay just accepted the 2 for $48 a couple of years back.
Last offseason.
So, look, man, we can argue, and we're not arguing, but you know what I mean. We could talk about this until we're blue in the face. The fact of the matter is they are probably better off with this course of action, both parties, because I don't think it's already been reported that Klay was miserable the past year.
Mm-hmm. And Kendra and Ramona confirmed that as well.
Yeah, it's already been reported he was miserable the last year. You don't want a guy to be miserable. Warriors don't want that. It's not beneficial to anybody. If someone is miserable at work every day, how do you think that comes off, even if it's not intentional?
Well, it brings everyone else down.
How do you think that comes off? Now, wouldn't you think it'd be appropriate to say that's kind of exhausting?
Someone's, no doubt.
Okay, then. So why would you even want that? Why would you even want that? That's all, like, you know, so it's probably better off for both sides.
Yeah, and I don't know how you would not get that Klay, even if you gave him 2 years and 48 like he, probably wanted now, even if you gave him his starting spot back, which you don't want to do. So you didn't want to give him the contract that he wanted. You didn't want to put him back in the starting lineup, which is probably what he wanted. And just judging by what was written in that piece in ESPN, he got to a point where he realized he wanted a change of scenery. No matter what, he wanted to go somewhere where he wouldn't have to try to live up to the old Klay. And that's something Mark Willard has been saying all along. The idea of, you know, having to live up to the Klay that we all remember and the Klay that he remembers and being scrutinized here as a Golden State Warrior. And that's a big reason why he ultimately didn't go to the LA Lakers, is because the scrutiny and the fishbowl of being Michael's kid and of being in LA and Kobe was your idol growing up and the LA kid comes home and all the rest of it. It's a lot different than you go to Dallas. He won't have any of that in Dallas. There's pressure to win because they've won, and you know they're coming off an NBA Finals appearance. So if you're a Mavericks fan, you're thinking, okay, this is our standard now with Luka and Kyrie, and now you have Klay. So there's that pressure, but there's not all the extra pressure that goes with being a Warrior and with being a Laker.
Do you remember when Steve Kerr years ago now, I think he did it a number of times, but he would call Klay a zero-maintenance star?
Yeah.
Maintenance star, and that's referenced in this article by Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews of ESPN, where Steve Kerr never had to worry about Klay. He was showing up, practicing, and getting all his work in. He was probably one of the first people there to the facility, and he just loved to play basketball, and he's Klay. He's kind of the weird, he's kind of got the awkward sense of humor, but he's hilarious, and all the guys love him, and they love being around him, and of course, he's a great basketball player, and is a big reason why you won all these championships. Zero maintenance, never any drama. You didn't have to worry about him at all, but it's something that you guys are both getting at. That has changed the last couple of years. And I think a piece from earlier in the week, this came out yesterday, Anthony Slater of The Athletic went through a number of instances where you easily can see that he's no longer that zero maintenance star. And again, it's not blaming Klay. I think we all can understand his frustration, but I think you can also see the Warriors side once you do fully realize the effect that Klay's emotions were having on the whole team. I'm going to just run through a couple of instances that Slater dives into from his piece, and this is all from this most recent season. You remember early December in Phoenix. This was the night that Draymond punched Yusuf Nurkic and got ejected and later on suspended. And it was that whole big thing. But another thing that happened in that game was Steve Kerr, really for the first time ever, deciding to bench Klay during crunch time. So he benches Klay during crunch time, and Klay, upset, kind of knocks over a bunch of cups behind the bench and starts, you know, getting up and screaming at the coaches in the huddle, the whole staff, and Steph has to basically pull him out of there, pull him away. So that's like the first instance of this frustration for Klay kind of really boiling over. Fast forward to February. You remember the game at home against the Clippers. And there was a comeback, and the Warriors ultimately are down by 6 with like a minute left. But Klay did not play like the previous 6 or 7 minutes.
Yep, yep.
Steve benched him in crunch time again. And he's on the bench this entire time, kind of like stewing and thinking and getting upset and angry. And again, I don't blame him. He's dealing with his basketball mortality, and it's difficult. But then the Warriors down 6 with like less than a minute to go. They get Klay back in the game because they need a three. They need 3 points. And Klay's still a very good 3-point shooter. Ultimately, they do make a three. It was a Pajemski made three, I believe, but Klay was a factor in that play. So now suddenly Warriors only down 3 with like 40 seconds left. It's a one possession game. So everyone in the building knows, don't foul, don't foul, don't foul. We just need to stop and we'll get the ball back. And Klay intentionally fouls the Clippers. They make free throws, and at that point, essentially, the game's over. And Klay, you know, I think it's relatively easy to just assume that his mind was elsewhere. He was kind of stewing and upset and frustrated that he wasn't in the game. And some post-game even theorized that, you know, again, his head was elsewhere, and he wasn't really focused on the game. And then this leads into the very next day in Utah, a back-to-back just before the end of the All-Star break. Kerr decides to move Klay to the bench. Pajemski starting, and Klay comes off the bench as the sixth man. First time since his rookie year that he's coming off the bench. And once Steve Kerr gave that news to Klay, quote from Anthony Slater of the story, Klay ripped into Kerr and his staff, grumbling about his inevitable summer departure from the franchise. But then you get the other side of Klay, where he goes out and scores 35 points in 28 minutes coming off the bench. And post game, he's talking about how he needs to accept his role, and he cites Manu Ginobili and his great career as a sixth man and all of that. But you can see, I think this gives you an insight into how Klay's emotions last year not only damaged, you know, maybe his play at times, but it hurt the Warriors as a team in moments. You know, the Phoenix or the Clippers game at home committed a foul that might have cost you that game. And you can just imagine how maybe at times it was incredibly awkward. And it was awkward being around Klay this season because of those public instances of being incredibly frustrating. And it was something you talked about, kind of walking on eggshells. And it's not to blame Klay necessarily. It's natural to feel that way. But on the flip side, I think the Warriors, if they had any fear that Klay was going to feel that way again, you can't possibly have that in your locker room a second time.
No, of course you can. And I mean, everybody, look, I get it. He has this nostalgia attached to him, but objectively, you can say that is not a healthy workroom environment with a player who is quote unquote miserable, which has been reported by Ramona Shelbourne and company. Like, that's just not healthy. You don't want anybody to be miserable every day. Did you guys, let me ask you this, and I'm not sure when we got to hit the break and we can talk to it on the other end.
We got plenty of time. 10 more minutes.
Did you guys hear what Richard Jefferson said on ESPN about what Klay Thompson said to him on Christmas Day? Did you hear that, Dibs?
I heard. I just refreshed me, though, because all the comments have been coming in.
Richard Jefferson said this on TV a couple days ago. He was like, I saw Klay on Christmas Day, and I asked him, hey, Klay, how's your mental? And he said, man, just tell these dudes to pay me my money.
That was Christmas.
That was his response.
Yes, that's right.
Is that the response of, like, that's not a, come on, man. That's the attitude he had all year. So take that for what you want. This isn't my opinion. This is just things that happen. Does anyone with that attitude, do you think it is healthy? Do you think it is not exhausting to be around?
I think we have Richard Jefferson saying just this. I think we can play it here.
I've never shared this before out of respect to Clay. Getting off elevator Christmas Day. This is on Christmas Day. Of this past year. I get off the elevator and I see Clay. I'm like, oh, Clay, what's up? So, oh, what's up? I'm like, hey, man, keep your mentals right. He's like, man, tell him to pay me my money. This was on Christmas Day. So on Christmas Day, a guy that had won 4 championships, and I don't give a damn what anybody says, how much money they gave him over the years, because he turned their franchise around. That franchise is worth billions of dollars, not just because of Steph, it's also because of Clay. They changed the game. It wasn't just Steph changing the game. It was Steph and Clay in that backcourt.
Absolutely.
So I say this, but he has a right to be mad.
That was Richard Jefferson on NBA Today via ESPN. Wow. So even on Christmas Day, he's thinking about his contract. And I guess that makes sense because he was upset enough last offseason to not take 2 for $48, wanting more. So then guys, the answer might be, okay, well, Clay's clearly upset about the money. Lack of respect in the form of a competitive contract offer. If you give him the contract offer, does that solve everything? He was on a max contract. He was making $43 million a year.
Right.
And he was frustrated about coming off the bench, clearly. And the Warriors had already, there's been multiple reports, they're planning on starting Podziemski, even if Clay's on the team. So even if he gets the contract that he wants, there's no guarantee that it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows the rest of the way.
And that's why I think it's more complicated than just what he said to Richard Jefferson, but I do think that comment, I'm glad you played it, Lucas, and thank you for reminding me, Jason, because I think that gives you a look into what Clay was going through all year. I think you're right, though, Grandy. Would that solve it if you gave him the contract he wanted? And what he really wanted was probably 3 years, if not 4 years. The money, sure, he would have wanted not $43 million. He's not going to get that, and he knows it. But he wanted the kind of contract that gave him more respect. And so if he was already stewing on that in December, then what took place from January through April? Probably even more, as we know, more frustration and more just brooding over his situation.
Yeah, I mean, look, we just have to be objective. And, like, I get that you can be a Klay Thompson fan and there's no stain on Klay Thompson's legacy. He is going to be known as a legend, rightfully so, forever as a Golden State Warrior. But if you just want to take your emotions out and objectively look at the situation that had been festering over the years, it wasn't healthy for anybody. It is better off he is gone if that's how he was going to feel. I'm not even saying whether it is right or wrong for him to feel that way. The fact is, and the only thing that matters, is he felt that way.
And he made it publicly known that he was feeling that way.
And he made it abundantly clear constantly.
You can't have that in your locker room.
If
you just can't.
That's how you feel, then yes, it's better off that he goes.
It's something that you were talking about earlier this week, and you were talking about the 2019 Warriors team when you had the Draymond KD butting of heads. And, you know, there was the David West comment, I think even the year before that, where you don't know all the S that we've gone through, right? Like, there's so many things that have gone on behind closed doors. And you were talking about the 2019 team, not the most fun team to be around it and to cover.
And the team was amazing. They went to the NBA Finals, and they would have won another one if they stayed healthy.
They had all these things, and it maybe not the most enjoyable locker room.
Steve Kerr said it himself.
You're right.
Steve Kerr said it himself. I don't have to say it for anybody. Steve Kerr said he had more fun coaching the Kai Bowman Warriors.
The 15-50 Warriors.
Than the 2019 Warriors.
That went to the finals.
Now that comment in real time got misconstrued, and it made it seem like he was talking about Kevin Durant. Let's make no mistake about it. He was not talking about Kevin Durant. That has been cleared up, but I want to remind everyone because I don't want to get aggregated by all these accounts. So, but Steve Kerr did say he had more fun coaching that 2020
team. Yeah.
So that's not my opinion. It's what Steve Kerr said. When you have a lot of stuff going on that has nothing to do with basketball, it's going to be exhausting.
It is. And I think what you can naturally point to is, well, okay, Clay isn't the only one guilty of doing a lot of things not related to basketball. Draymond Green, right? And that's bad too. And I don't think any of us are saying that we don't get why Clay feels frustrated. And I think most of us would understand. Yeah, I mean, if we were in Clay's spot and you saw Draymond Green, despite all of his on-court transgressions, get 4 years, $20 million, $25 million, that might frustrate you and piss you off a little bit. The Warriors aren't in the business of compounding mistakes. Just because you made one mistake in the past doesn't mean you have to make another. And we've heard so much over the decade of this Warriors run about their culture and Warriors culture and Steph Curry. And obviously he's an incredible leader and the best teammate for my money in NBA history. He's awesome. And Steve Kerr is obviously a player's coach and has fostered a great culture. But I mean, it's no secret the last couple of years that Warriors culture hasn't been as good as it had been in the peak of the Warriors' powers. They were the best basketball team in the world, but they were also maybe the best locker room in the world. And it's kind of clear the last couple of years they haven't been the best locker room in the world.
And the joy has largely been missing from the Golden State Warriors. And it's not just to look at the Draymond Green Jordan Poole incident. You saw Steph Curry throwing a mouthpiece. You've seen, I mean, Draymond plays with the same fury he always has.
Steph was crying on the court because of what Draymond did this past year.
You know, Klay Thompson has been, you know, holding up four fingers, pointing at his rings that Booker doesn't have in Phoenix. And so you haven't seen the same level of joy. And I know part of that is the pressure of now being the hunted and you got the four titles and everyone's coming for you and you're getting older. And it gets frustrating when you get older and you can't do everything that you used to do. But maybe this is a year where the joy comes back a little bit and Klay's got a chance to go to Dallas and turn the page and get a fresh start.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Dave in the East Bay is up next. Dave, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, guys. I just want to chime in and say it's a little precious for us to be talking about how one guy's bad attitude over the last year has been corrosive to the locker room and the team when this ball club has for a decade had the most antagonistic, corrosive, bad attitude player in the entire league and has repeatedly not only stood by him but rewarded him for it. So, you know, I get that we're talking about Clay because he's left, but I think we got to take a little bit of perspective here. If there's anybody who's responsible for problems with culture, it was not Klay Thompson.
Let me ask you this, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but my thing is this. If Draymond Green got a free pass for his behavior, then I would be more inclined to be like, yeah, you're right. But Draymond gets his fair share of criticism, too. It's not like Draymond doesn't get criticized for his actions. We are just simply saying that.
Wait. Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Draymond gets criticized from the outside, but this team has never done anything to back any of that up. I mean, they have the dude literally punched out a teammate, and they did nothing. I know Draymond gets criticism, but that's from people outside the organization, not from the inside.
And that's fair. And that's fair. And thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
At that point, you got to ask yourself why you think that is. That's all. And look, Draymond had his fair share of transgressions that have been criticized. I don't have to detail them. We've all seen them. They are in the public eye to see. Every single last one of them. And yes, some people have a problem with the fact that when he got into it with Jordan Poole, he didn't miss a single game. Draymond has taken that on the chin. And if you have an issue with that, I can't look you in the eyes and call you wrong for it. I can't. So from that vantage point, he has a point. I think what we are just detailing, I don't think any of us are trying to make it an either or who was worse. We are simply repeating what has been reported, and given all that has been reported as of late, coming to the very, very reasonable opinion that could not have been healthy behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
I don't think that is a hot take. I just think that is reality.
Yeah, and that's the reality is that, you know, everything is not what it seems from the outside as it pertains to the inside. And, you know, the whole idea of Draymond getting a pass, the one thing that he got a pass for is the one thing that we all know how egregious it was because the video leaked. And think about, Jason, if we never would have seen the video of him punching Jordan Poole, nobody would have ever known there was an altercation at practice and Poole and Draymond had to be separated.
Yeah, we wouldn't have known the extent to it.
Oh, it's just what happens on the basketball court sometimes.
Exactly.
Competitors, you know, you get a little feisty.
Sure, things got heated at practice and they had to be separated.
Like I said, just what that last caller said, shout out to him. I will never look somebody in the eye and tell them they're wrong for feeling the way he felt on that phone call. And I just want people to understand that I don't think any of us in here in this studio are comparing Jordan or are comparing Draymond and Clay in the sense who was worse, what was more distracting. We are just calling out behavior that we think is not conducive to a healthy environment.
Yeah, and I think we can also say Clay Thompson's feelings, whether you would feel the same way or not in his situation, are valid. And maybe part of that is how the Warriors handled Draymond Green. But also, considering what Clay Thompson's feelings were, I think it also makes a lot of sense for the Warriors to not be interested in having those feelings on their team anymore. And the simplest, surest way of making sure those feelings aren't on your team anymore is by not having him on your team, as emotionally difficult as that is. And I think that's part of the decision the Warriors made this offseason. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, one final segment. It's Willard and Dibs. Willard out this week. Jason Dumas, Mark Grandy filling in. Dan Dibley here as always. We're back with more on the other side, and we are sponsored by Chilton Auto Body.
Willard and Dibs.
Oh, just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep.
Yep. You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your question?
On 95.7 The Game.
That's Ramon. It's that time of the year. It's aggregation season in the NBA. Jason Dumas knows that. He's been all over the place the last couple of days because of what you said here, huh?
Oh, my. I think Fox Sports 1, ESPN, you know, what can you say? What can you say?
That's because your takes are so compelling that people need to take what you say and they have to run with it.
Yeah, I mean,
stop being so interesting and so compelling. You can try
that. That's just 2024 in a nutshell when it comes to the media landscape.
Yep.
You know, but I'll wear it. I'm built for it. It is what it is.
Where else was it? My guy Carter was telling us he saw you in what, the New York Post? In the New York Post.
Yeah,
you also got picked up by the Post.
I forgot about the Post too. Got picked up by the New York Post.
Nice.
For saying essentially that a situation where a player was miserable every day, which has been reported, felt disrespected, was an exhausting situation. I think that was a pretty fair comment, but you know the headline, Klay Thompson was exhausting, yada, yada, yada. That's gonna get some traction.
Yeah, we got a text here that I think fits perfectly with this conversation, and it's on the Xfinity Mobile text line, 888-957-9570. Do you remember Steve Kerr's comments mid-season about the, quote, powders and wallflowers? And we were wondering who that was about. I mean, with all this coming to light, there's a chance it might be about Clay.
I don't remember that. Say it. What did he say?
It was something along the lines of, we might be able to track the sound down in a sec, but it was something along the lines of, we're not going to be able to win with powders and wallflowers.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. It was on our show.
Pouters. Pouters.
Pouters. Yeah. You're pouting. It. Yeah. P-O-U-T-E-R-S.
But you said powders, like literally what you put on your face.
No,
like
P-O-U-T.
Yeah, so with pouters and wallflowers.
It's something that he said on our show in November of 2023, and it got aggregated in many spots. I'm surprised you didn't scoop and score on that quote.
I did not see that. So, I mean, just... I guess I'm not doing myself any favor speculating, but just off the top of the head, hearing that, there's only two people I would think he could be talking about, and that's Kuminga and Clay.
I think most of us in that moment thought it was
Wiggins
about Kuminga.
Well, oh, I was thinking Wiggins. Wallflowers.
Maybe a wallflower.
Right. Maybe the pouting. And
honestly, I don't even know what a wallflower is. What is a wallflower?
It's like wallpaper when you're just kind of there.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? And it's probably not beneficial to speculate at all, but he said it for a reason.
Speculate, and then we could pick it up in the New York Post and Fox Sports 1. We can all run with it.
We have the sound. This is Steve Kerr, November of this past year, talking about powders and wallflowers.
In order to win in the NBA, obviously you have to have talent, but you have to have energy. You have to bring something to the table life-wise, like joy-wise, energy-wise, competitiveness-wise. And that's what I watched tonight, you know, from the whole group. Clearly, Brandon has that. That's pretty obvious. And our fans have watched this team win four championships. And they weren't won by, you know, a bunch of powders and wallflowers. They were won by gamers, competitors, guys who brought energy and joy and passion to everything. And that's what it takes. So that's what I'm looking for.
That was Steve Kerr, November 15th.
Yeah, it was actually the 14th. We ran with it on the 15th because I thought it was on our show on our weekly with Steve Kerr. And I'm looking at that game on November 14th. It was Minnesota 104, Golden State 101.
Was that so? The comments were before or after that game?
After that game.
Okay.
And because that's the game where Draymond and Clay each played a buck 43. And, you know,
that was the Pajemski breakout game.
Exactly.
Clay that was the choke. That was when Draymond choked out Hurricane.
Choke gate. And Pods came in and had 23. In 39 minutes, he came in and did not pout or play like a wallflower. So
it is interesting. He mentions, obviously, Brandon's got that. You know, he's got that energy and that hustle and that competitiveness, because now you look at part of what made Clay so upset. It was losing his starting job to Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah. And as far as powders and wallflowers go, in that game, Jonathan Kuminga played 16 minutes and went 2 of 3 and scored 5 points and snared 2 rebounds, and Andrew Wiggins played almost 28 minutes and had 9 points on 4 of 15. So you lose Clay and Draymond, lickety split, 2 minutes in, one guy gets in a fight, the other one goes into choke mode. Okay, Andrew. Okay, JK, this is your moment. And it was Pods who stepped up, and you know, that was a competitive game. He lost by 3. So I think that might be where that was born out of.
So in that context, it sounded like he was referring to Wiggins and Kuminga.
Right.
Yeah. Looking back at that game, why did Clay need to get kicked out?
So he and Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, I know what actually happened.
They just played the T-Wolves. Oh, I see what you're talking about.
No, that's what I mean. Just give those two a double technical and move on. I can see why Draymond got tossed.
I wonder if it never escalated, if it would have just been a double T. But I mean, that was grab jersey, spin around, kind of violently.
I would have to watch the replay again. And I mean, who cares at this point? It's moot. But just while we're on it, it's like, I remember thinking in real time, like, McDaniels and Clay, that's a wash. Give them each a double technical. Yeah, I guess they started something that got even bigger, but like, let him play. You had to kick out Clay and Draymond.
Yeah.
That completely changes the game.
And the thing I forget about that game, and I remember going back to the box score, they didn't have Steph Curry in that game.
Yeah, he was out. One of the few games he missed this past year.
So no Steph, no Clay, no Dre, and you still fought back and lost by 3. And, you know, JK was a non-factor, and the wallflower, Andrew Wiggins, without the top 3, he couldn't step up and carry the water either.
All right, we got 2 calls to get into before we say bye. We'll go to Idris first. Quick here, you got a minute, Idris. What's up? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, fellas? So basically, you know, I love Clay and everything, but I remember watching 2 years ago when we lost to the Lakers and what Clay did, and we were calling the station talking about Curry needs a true number 2. We fast forward a year later, we saw the play, and we saw what Clay did. Clay is too prideful. We love him to death, but he is not doing what we need him to do. He's not doing what we need him to do. And as far as everything they're talking about, it is what it is. I love him, but he can't do nothing for us. God bless him. Moving on.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Idris. I think you summed it up well. We love Clay to death, but it was just time to move on. I think it was time to move on for a number of reasons. All right, final call of the day. It's Tony in San Francisco. Tony, take us home. You got a minute. What's on your mind?
Hey, fellas. I'm just wondering how much of this all has to do with Draymond Green. We know he's pushed quite a few people away, quite a bit of talent away from the team. I'm wondering if the antics with Jordan Poole and then getting suspended and then still getting his bag, maybe he has an attitude with Klay behind the scenes too. He seems to have a beef with everybody. Maybe Klay is just done with Dre.
I doubt it. I mean, Dre spoke on this. Him and Klay cried together. Well, he didn't say Klay cried, but Draymond said he was shedding tears while he was on the phone talking to Klay. They've been co-workers for 10 years, I think, right?
12.
12 years?
On the same team for 12, yeah.
12 years. I mean, you might rub each other the wrong way every now and then. Who doesn't get in spats with a coworker every now and then? But I don't think Klay left because of Draymond at all. I think it's just more the bigger picture and him thinking it would be better for him mentally to be elsewhere.
No doubt. I think that the Draymond contract, he doesn't look at it with anything other than maybe a little bit of envy. It had nothing to do with Draymond himself.
Right. Exactly.
And you don't ever want to count someone else's pockets, as you always say, and many people say, and that's true. And I don't think that Klay is, but Klay can't help but look at the situation and say,
of course, it's natural to compare in that situation.
No doubt.
Yeah. No doubt. All right, that's all we got time for today here on Willard and Dibs. Hope everyone has a good 4th of July. I know you'll be back staying busy on 4th of July. Evan 12 to 4. Spadoni and Lubman got you covered in the morning from 8 until noon. That's the schedule both tomorrow and on Friday. Great to be with you, Dumas. Dibs, as always, thanks for welcoming us on to the show. Hope you have a good 4th of July. For Carter and Lucas behind the glass, for Jason, Dibs, I'm Mark Granny signing off. Stay tuned. Lucas has got you covered with Best of the Game coming up on the other side. That is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Lucas with Best of the Game is on the way on the other side. Happy 4th, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's Willard and Dibs for Safeway. Enjoy these amazing digital deals. And as always, earn 4x reward points on hundreds of exclusive offers with your Safeway app, such as USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package, member price. And now here comes a much less chunky Dan Dibley to use the word chunk.
Talking about shredded, Mark, Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 6 items. It's a member price.
I don't know if you're shredded, but you're getting there.
We're getting there.
Dreyer's ice cream, 1.5 quart size, or Häagen-Dazs ice cream, 14 ounce size, or Novelties, 3 count ice cream bars, selected varieties, $2.97 each, limit 4 items, member price. Dibs, I know you love the dessert.
I love the dessert and I love the member price.
Such a sweet guy. These and other great digital deals are available in the For You section on the Safeway app. Go to Safeway.com for more details. And remember, we're going to see you in the aisles.
Hitting the road this summer? When you download the Fuel Forward app, you save up to 20 cents per gallon on your first fill-up at Phillips 66, Conoco, and 76 stations. Because that's what the app does. A simple, straightforward way to keep you moving forward. Fuel Forward. 20 cents is a combined savings of 5 cents every day off per gallon plus an extra 15 cents off per gallon for first-time users up to 30 gallons. Offer valid once for a new Fuel Forward app user through 12/31/2024. Participating locations only.
Now that spring is here, Golden State Lumber and Building Materials can get you one step closer to an ultimate outdoor living space. They partner with Trex, the largest manufacturer of composite decking, with options for every home and every budget. TimberTech is another leader in decking with natural wood appearance made from 85% recycled materials. Talk with your builder or contractor about Golden State, celebrating 70 years in the Bay Area. When you succeed, we succeed.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the